Yoya Samyam Atmanam.
Okay.
Please.
I don't know when. Okay, let me read the first Sanskrit verse. शुद्धो विचष्टे हि अविशुद्ध कर्तो. सो यू सी दैट हियर द फर्स्ट वर्स 12 वर्स 12 टॉक्स अबाउट द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द जीव क्षेत्रज्ञ. सो ही इज द नोअर of his kshetra, of his body and his surroundings. Eta manasa, his mind, is actually the vibhutir jivasya and in maya rachitasya it is mind is part of the maya actually. Okay. It's always nitya, always. Avirtha kvapi tirohitascha shuddho. Vichaste, that is what established. So here the translation, the pure knower of the presentation field, that is the kshatragna, merely perceives this beginningless modification. So you see this his mind, it undergoes this modification as constitutively he has nothing to do, but when he comes, his mind comes under material consciousness, that is the vibhutis, of the impure actor, the mind, that's the mind, which is but in a, it's an upadhi. We learned the word upadhi actually. Previously, even in the introductory class last week, I defined what is upadhi. Upadhi is the delimitation. It's like a good analogy. You have a crystal, which is completely colorless crystal. And if you put nearby a rose flower, a red rose flower, the crystal would look like reddish. So even the crystal has nothing to do with the color, but just being in the vicinity, being in close proximity of that red flower, it assumes that flower's characteristic color actually. The same way jiva has nothing to do with that material consciousness, but because he is in that physical body made of maya, so his both gross and subtle body is made of maya, he becomes delimited by the proximity of his physical body. So that is how he comes under the influence of his bodily demands, under bodily consciousness, his ahankara. So his mind also becomes captured there. So that is called upadhi actually. You know? So that is how he becomes that, you know. So he shuddho, he is pure, but because of that vichaste he becomes established in his ashuddha kartu. Ashuddha means impure. His actions also becomes against the Supreme Lord's injunctions, you know. So that is the description of him, you know. So now next, so that is the basic characteristics of jiva, whereas Paramatma is completely has nothing to do with that. You know, Paramatma is the also witness, but he is witness of all the bodies perfectly, and he is all pervasive. That means in everywhere, is invisible. You can't see, and he is has a human form actually. In fact, there's a description. In Bhagavatam, he is like Vishnu form, forearm form, situated in our heart. Actually, you know, as an expansion of Bhagavan, just I mentioned right beginning, that he is Bhagavan's expansion for the sole role in the management of this universe, both jivas and prakriti both, and he is the abode of all beings. he is fixed in himself by Swarupa Shakti. So even though he is there with Jiva, he is not, at all affected, unlike Jiva, you know. He's in completely, purely in his own primary characteristics. He's a Swarupa Lakshana in his internal Swarupa, you know, form. Next PowerPoint. Somehow I think this PowerPoint may be different. Somebody has a question here. If you can hold on to your question until the end of the class, I will definitely take your questions. So Paramatma, he is the regulator of Maya or the Prakriti, which manifests the cosmos, and also of the conditioned Jivas both, you know. And this is another verse here Jiva Goswami quotes. Actually, that is from the first canto, 7th chapter, and text 5. And this is part of Vyasadeva's trance, that he saw everything in his trance. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam tri gunatkam paropi banyate anartham tat kritam cha avipadyate. So bewildered by that maya, the living entity, the jiva, though separate from the three modes of material nature, he takes on the material existence created by the modes of material nature. Later on, we will see in the second theme, actually, how Paramatma controls Prakriti and how Prakriti controls, Maya controls the Jivas, actually. These are two subdivisions of Maya, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. Jiva Maya actually puts us in total ignorance of who we are, you know. It covers our true knowledge that we are a spiritual being. We have nothing to do with this material body. So that covers our original identification. And second, it gives our physical body. So we come under the influence of the three modes of material nature, this guna maya, you know. So this is the way how maya controls us. We are going to learn at much great depth, actually. So how is the maya? So in fact, when I sent you a few days back the announcement for this class, I also gave you some quizzes, actually. Now, I know bulk of vast majority of all of you do not like any kind of homework or quizzes. That is the reason I do not keep any examinations. But yet, I was really pleasantly surprised that some of you specifically wrote to me that they would rather like to have some kind of examination or some quizzes. So I'm going to give some quizzes in this general announcement that I sent out, but that's completely voluntary. Those of you care to solve, you may solve it, but you'll find the answer in my PowerPoints. So I will deliberately send you the PowerPoint just about 2 or 3 days before the class. So you will, some of you who want to solve these quizzes may have an opportunity to do so, while others can wait. So in the class we will discuss. So here, one of the quiz question I put, that how is this mind made of Maya, that this verse says that, you know. And so the answer is here, that is undertaken by the Jiva's Upadhi, because it's close proximity being in this physical body, you know. Yeah, that's good. Very good. See, here's that. This is the verse I was talking about. I think this is the correct PowerPoint, you know. Here you see that verse. Kshatragna eta manaso vibhutir jivasya maya rachitasya. So it is rachitasya, means being discomposed of maya. So it's maya's composition, is mind, actually. Nityaha, always. Avirita kvapi tirohitascha shuddho vichasta hi avishuddha kartu. So here the translator, Jada Bharata, specifies specific nature of the Jiva and Paramatma to King Rahugana. So Jiva becomes absorbed in the covering on the Jiva known as this mind, which performs actions opposed to the Lord. So clearly you can see the mind's natural role is to really fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. But here, under the material consciousness, it carries on the job of what Maya dictates, you know, completely opposite. And the mind controls the senses. So all the senses also become in material control, actually, you know. That's the next PowerPoint now. So here, the second quiz was this. By what characteristic is the mind a product of Maya? First, we learn how is mind is a product of Maya. Now, the sub-question, sub-quiz of that is this jiva. So what are characteristics of the mind a product of jiva? So jiva performs actions opposed to the mind, opposed to the Lord. That is the first characteristic. It completely goes against the instructions of the Lord. So Maya, our mind takes away completely opposite direction the Lord wants us to go. Because it is the product of Maya. That is the Maya's role actually. Maya takes us away from Krishna, Mahamaya, whereas Yoga Maya takes us towards Krishna, you know. So even though we are constitutively pure, Shuddha Api, Api means even though, you know, means although transcendental to Maya, we perceive this familiar modification of the Lord, of the mind. And upon seeing them, becomes identified, is known as the Jiva. So Jiva comes under misidentification of himself. Vichesta, that means perceives, you know, clearly seeing that. The phrase, these familiar presentations, vibhuti of the mind, refers to the modification of the mind. So mind undergoes this transformation process. We are going to hear a lot more about how this mind becomes modified, the transformation of ourself when we come under the material control. We are going to learn a lot more when Jiva Goswami defeats this Mayavadi conception, because Mayavadi is the radical Advaitavada philosophy do not believe in Jiva and Paramatma. In fact, they say they are one and the same, basically. It's the Brahman is the reality, where this Jagan, the material world, is just an illusion. So Brahman himself, the Brahman itself, when can become trapped into this kind of delimitation, upadhi, when Brahman comes under the influence of this Maya, yeah, that's what they're saying, that even Brahman, you know, the part of the Supreme, comes under the control of his own potency. That's the amazing thing that they're saying. And that's why when Brahman comes under that, it becomes Jiva then, you know, because of the avidya potency of Maya. But when, so modes of, especially lower modes of material nature, passion and ignorance, but when same Brahman regains the true knowledge, the Vedic knowledge, in the mode of goodness, pure mode of goodness, then becomes Brahman. So they don't believe Jiva and Paramatma. So here, Jiva Goswami refutes that by again quoting Srimad Bhagavatam. He's going to quote even Bhagavad Gita teachings of Krishna. Krishna very clearly defines in chapter 13 the two kinds of Kshatragna, Jiva and Paramatma itself, actually, his expansion. So clearly there is a two distinction, you know, and distinct characteristics. So the third part of the quiz was that, how is this mind further described? So here it is the, so there is about this upadhi, you know, because of in this proximity of this physical body, it acquires the characteristics of this physical body. And physical body is of course part of Maya, you know. So his mind also becomes part of Maya. So then he performs impure action. What is impure action means? Against the injunctions of the Supreme Lord. You know? What Paramatma instructs him is not listen. We don't listen when we are in material consciousness. And that is that are rooted in non-avs of Bhagavan, because Maya takes us away from Bhagavan. Bahir Mukha, see? Our face is turned against the Lord, actually, you know. So how and when are these modifications took place, actually? Manifest and manifest, one finish. So they appear to be during the waking and dreaming states and dissipate during the deep sleep. So even these three states of mind, when we are awake, then also we see all things. And even dream state also same way, but only in the deep state when our bodily senses are disconnected from us, mind is disconnected, then there is different. Then the soul is free in that sense. You know? Next PowerPoint. Next one, please. So this is very kind of important, actually, to know that we are the witness of all of our activities, you know. And we are of that, but the supreme knower is Paramatma. Next PowerPoint, please. Next slide. Yeah, so this is the verse that we already talked about. This is the verse from the Vyasa's trance. Yata sam mohito jiva atmanam trigunatkaram paropi manute anartham tat kritam cha abhipadyate. Bewildered by the maya, the jiva, though separate from the three modes, and takes on the material existence created by the modes. So we act under the influence of this maya's three modes of material nature. So how is the mind made of maya? It is undertaken by the jiva's upadhi, because of the proximity with this physical body. And physical body is made of the three modes of material nature. So that's why we come under the influence of the three modes. So both jiva and paramatma are indeed kshatragnas. They are not equal. So now there is a distinction between we, the jivatma, and the paramatma. You know, jiva misidentifies with the two types of material bodies, gross and subtle bodies, which are actually the products of maya, both even the mind also, you know. And these are the upadhis, the delimitations of the jiva. This paramatma, the other purusha, purusha means the enjoyer, being distinct, they're being in the proximity of the gross and subtle bodies, and still it's not affected or conditioned by the modes. So that is the distinguishing mark, distinguishing characteristics of Paramatma. Next slide, please. So that's the first section. Now the second section is Paramatma is the knowable and the primary knower of all fields. So we know to a limited extent our own body. We witness on our own body. But Paramatma, being all pervasive, he's situated in everyone's heart. So he knows all the bodies, actually, and perfectly. That is what we see in this second subsection. So this is where Jiva Goswami quotes this verses from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And also there are other verses, especially the verse 21 and 22, you know. So here in Bhagavad Gita, very first two verses, Krishna says very much the same thing about these two kinds of knowers, two kshatragnas. With the concept of kshetra and kshatragna that he's introducing, along with elaborate discussion of the Purusha and Prakriti. So individual knows only particular kshatra, that is on his own body, and that too also imperfectly, where Paramatma knows all the bodies. And this refutes, just as I said just now, the Mayavadi philosophy. They don't believe, they don't accept there are two kinds of these kshatras, Jiva and Paramatma. They think they are one and the same, and that is basically Brahman. And Brahman itself, although Brahman is completely pure and is completely devoid of any attributes, and yet Brahman in the proximity, when it comes under this influence of the avidya potency of Maya, then Brahman also becomes, then it becomes Jiva, you know, in a avidya potency, the upadhi of that. But under when the same Jiva, that living entity, when becomes illuminated by the knowledge of Vedanta in the pure mode of goodness, then returns back to Brahman, originally pure Brahman, you know. So now it's in the mode of pure goodness, you know. So that is what they are saying, basically, no difference. So this physical body that we see as Jiva, that's just a, it's an illusion because of Maya. And that's very clearly he refutes by quoting his Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna clearly says there are indeed two kinds of Jivas, two kinds of, one is Jivatma and one is Paramatma, the Supreme Soul, you know, and the two kinds of knowers, you know, and they are very distinguishing characteristics that right there, it flatly defeats the Maya of the philosophy. Next slide. And then further verses actually. So after this is the next verse. Paramatma is the primary kshatragna of all. After demonstrating that there are two kshatragnas, Jiva and Paramatma, who is the supreme witness, and now Jiva Goswami returns to this 13th chapter, verse 1 and 2. So here the statement is very clear. Know me also to be the kshatram. So here Krishna emphasizes that just know, understand that there is another kshatragna in the body of the living entities, and that is Paramatma. That is me. He identifies, he says, it's my expansion. So Paramatma is Lord's expansion, and he is the knower of all the bodies. So, and there is the difference between the two knowers, as I just mentioned. And then he says this verse 21 and 22, Prakriti stho hi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan, karanam guna sangasya sad asad yoni janmasho. So he says that of the two, Paramatma is a primary one, and individual soul is not independent of Paramatma. He is completely under the control in its knowing capacity, and it is dependent upon the Paramatma for all his instructions and guidance, you know, for existence and powers. Next one. This is another verse he's quoting. So Paramatma is a partial manifestation of Bhagavan to regulate the cosmos, this cosmic manifestation, and also the living entities within it. The individual souls are integrated part, and so we are part and parcel of Paramatma, who is the possessor of all individual souls that make up Bhagavan's marginal. So we are the Tatastha Shakti, marginal potency, where Maya is an external potency. As we'll see, even Maya also being controlled by Paramatma. So Jivas are within the direct jurisdiction of Paramatma. And so Bhagavan does not take part on the running of this universe. His expansions are doing that. Bhagavan is just busy with pastimes with his pure devotees and his associates. He has his own abode and all these things that we learned in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. So conditioning of the Jiva, when did it begin? It's from time immemorial. It's beginningless. No one can actually pinpoint when actually we came to existence under the material consciousness. So just as the Jiva has a material body as its delimiter, upadhi, apparently on the surface it looks like Paramatma may also come under this upadhi because it is taken figuratively. At least figuratively, not in reality actually, because Paramatma also situated in his body, but Paramatma is totally untouched. In fact, Jiva Goswami goes at great length. Actually, I already prepared PowerPoints more than halfway of this course, and Jiva Goswami talks at much great length, as we will know about it, that this Paramatma is totally, completely unaffected by the material world. Actually, even though material world is, he is the controller, he is the one who regulates material world, but he is not in at all connected with that. Next one. He's not affected by that. Spot. So now, so we know the first aspect, the first role of Paramatma, Bhakshatra and Kshatragna, he is the supreme knower of the fields. Now we will know about the manifestation, the Purusha manifestation of Paramatma, the conscious being, the enjoyers of this. So just as Brahman and Bhagavan, the qualification still remains that of bhakti for the realization of Paramatma. Now I remember, now it comes to my mind here, I remember towards the end of our last introductory class last week, Gopi Prabhu had asked me, how is that Jiva Goswami did not compile Brahman Sandarbha? Because Tattva Vadanti verse very clearly says, he first described Brahman, Brahma eti, Paramatma eti, Shabda eti, you know, as the characteristics of the absolute truth. You know, it's Advaya, one without a second of consciousness, supreme consciousness. So how is that? You know, so there actually in Bhagavad Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami makes it very clear. Actually, we saw that Brahman is already been discussed in Bhagavad Sandarbha. You know, because Brahman has no qualities as that of Bhagavan. You know, Brahman has no qualities; is devoid of any attributes. So clearly, to discuss that, Jiva Goswami had to first describe what is Bhagavan. And that is the reason he composed Bhagavad Sandarbha first, you know. And Brahman is discussed right in that Bhagavad Sandarbha detail. We saw that how Brahman is, you know, those who are Brahman realize what are their qualifications and so on, like that in great detail, you know. But then how is Paramatma Sandarbha? Paramatma is also part of Bhagavan. Bhagavan is a complete realization. Why is Paramatma Sandarbha comes next to Bhagavad Sandarbha? So there again, Jiva Goswami makes a distinction that Paramatma, by being in the part of Bhagavan, again, Bhagavan with Paramatma has the characteristics of its role in material world. You know? So it has the potency, it's the energy of the Lord, Bahiranga Shakti, you know. So Bhagavan is the internal potency. So that's again, Bhagavat Sandarbha was first created, first compiled, then because first describing complete one as a general rule, one which is controlled complete, that you describe first and then the subsidiary you describe next. So that's why Paramatma Sandarbha comes next actually. So qualification still remained in bhakti for the relation Paramatma as well. So here a possible doubt can be raised. How could the creation proceed since there would be no devotees prior to creation? You know? So the answer is here. For the sake of those who could not attain the perfection. So here, that's one of the reasons why this is cyclic creation, cyclic maintenance solution. Why Krishna repeatedly creates and destroys and then again creates? What's the purpose? What happens in the previous cycle, the living entities who did not become Krishna conscious, who did not become, excuse me, this night. Rita, bahu tamne jo jati bolya, avaj bahu aave chhe. Excuse me. So, in the previous cycle, those of us who did not become self-realized, then we are given another opportunity. So at the time of dissolution, we go back in the body of Mahavishnu with all our karmas still unresolved. They become dormant. So both we, the living entities, as well as Prakriti, we all go in the body of Mahavishnu. So when the time comes for the next cycle of creation, we are injected back into the material nature with our karmas back again. So that is the reason why. For the sake of those who could not attain the perfection of devotion in the previous cycle of creation are now being dormant within the body of Paramatma. So now we are put back again. Next part. So now, we see these three Purusha manifestation of Paramatma. And then there are some very, very important characteristics that we must keep in mind, as Jiva Goswami himself emphasizes that actually. And these three Purusha expansions for the lone purpose of creation of the manifestation. And there is Mahavishnu, there's Karnadakshaya Vishnu, where he creates multiple universes from the pores of his body. So Mahavishnu, first one, each and every universe, he enters his further expansion as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. We went through all this many, many times before, you know. And then each and every soul, each and every heart of living entities, he enters as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So how Mahavishnu expands from Krishna, so that's where Jiva Goswami makes a very, very important point here, and I want you to listen very carefully, actually, you know. Because what happens is some of the new things that you're going to hear that, you know, and some of the misconception we might have before, as I had, also becomes cleared by Goswami's this Paramatma Sandarbha. As I told you, the overview, there's so many new things we are going to hear about that, you know. And all this coming from Srimad Bhagavatam, interestingly enough. You know? So here, there are two, this quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord. Krishna is in the Swayam Krishna, Govinda, you know, he's in the Golok Vrindavan Dham. The topmost planet of the Vaikuntha, you know. So that Krishna, for creation, Jiva Goswami says three things that's required actually. The will to create this material world, the cognition, the knowledge required. The third is actual action, you know. So the will is the expressed directly by Krishna, the Govinda, you know. Govinda, Golabinda. So first, Chaturvedi expansion from Krishna to Balaram, of course, and that is taking place in the spiritual world. Very important fact. First important fact, the first quadruple expansion from Krishna, Govinda, to Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Anirudh. That's the first, okay? And from that first Chaturvya, the Balarama portion, that is where the second expansion, second quadruple expansion takes place. And that takes place in the material world. You know. So that is from Balaram, the Sankarsana, again, further takes place Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. As we saw, the Mahavishnu form, you know, there's the Pradyumna expansion. And when he comes as a Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, each and every universe, that is Sankarsana is for the Mahavishnu. Pradyumna is the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And Aniruddha as the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So here it says that Mahavishnu or Karnadakshaya Vishnu, also called Sankarsana, or Narayana, he is the regulator of the primordial nature called Prakriti or Pradhana, because from distance he throws a glance at this material nature, which is under equilibrium. All the three modes are under equilibrium, so that's called Pradhana. When the living entity is injected into that, along with the time potency, and Paramatma himself enters, time potency is the potency of Paramatma. So when Paramatma enters there, then the three modes of material nature become flux, you know, they become activated by the time potency, comes Mahatattva, and then Mahatattva comes in three modes, and further all the senses are created and all so on like that. So here, in the previous cycle, after the dissolution, Krishna goes in this yogic nidra, yogic sleep, yoga nidra, in the water of this causal ocean. And that's when, remember that the Vedas personified offers speak the Lord for the next cycle, you know, that's given in the final chapter, 87th chapter, I believe, not final chapter, where Vedas personified offers speak, and a great deal of knowledge is being revealed, actually. And they sing in the praise of the Lord, actually. So here, Lord wakes up from that, and he becomes the next cycle. So he manifests innumerable innumerable universes from the pores of his body. So how does he do that? So here Jiva Goswami describes in great length. In fact, he emphasizes that we should understand how does this takes place, you know. And I want to read that, but now time is not enough. But let me see if I can read part of it. So here he said that Shambhu. So now that is the term which is quite could be misunderstanding, you know. Because from Brahma Samhita we hear Shambhu, you know. Shambhu is actually normally referred to Lord Shiva here, you know. But here Shambhu is not really Lord Shiva, you know. When Krishna, by his will, when he expresses his will for the creation of material universe, so by his will, so will comes from directly from Krishna, Govinda, you know. And Shambhu right there is actually as Mahanarayana, that's actually referred to as. It's the causal thing before Mahavishnu appears. You know, this Karnadakshaya Vishnu appears. So between Krishna and Mahavishnu, it's this second quadruple expansion, that's where this intermediary is this Shambhu, you know. So Shambhu is the causal agent of Krishna. Causal agent means is the one which is the cause of that, you know, of original Bhagavan. And that is called in Sanskrit called linga. And here Jiva Goswami actually defines what is linga. Linga here, let me read that. So directly, this is the commentary of Jiva Goswami here, okay? Very, very important. In fact, I learned a lot. So here Jiva Goswami, here I'm reading directly the translation of Jiva Goswami's commentary. It is necessary to explain the word linga from Brahma Samhita. And that is text 5.8. In accordance with the Vishnu Purana statement that entire cosmic energy is situated in a 1 millionth part. I'm sorry, 100 million part. 100 millionth part of his part. And his part means he is Bhagavan Sri Govinda. So of his 100th million part is this cosmic energy that's by which he creates the material universe. And the potency to manifest this Purusha avatars, these three Purusha avatars, Karmadaksha Vishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and Kshitradaksha Vishnu, are part of that. You know? A special part of that causal potency of Sri Govinda is known as this Shambhu. The Shambhu is the intermediary before the Mahavishnu is created from Govinda, you know, from Govinda's second quadruple expansion, Sankarsana. You know. So, and Govinda is the primary characteristics of anything, actually, you know, this Shambhu, you know, this linga, you know, when we call linga, linga means it's just like sometimes many commonly we refer linga as the like, for instance. What this one? I thought you took him there, right? No? Okay. Now, please, go ahead. My class is being disturbed now. I'm sorry, please. My grandson is here. Let me remove that. I lift it up, you put it. Got it? Okay. Thanks. So here, I'll read it here with time. So Shambhu is the causal agent of Krishna, the original Bhagavan, also called Linga, which discloses an object or a hidden meaning. Like for smoke, is the characteristics of the beginning or causal things of fire. So from a distance, when you cannot see the fire, when you begin to see just smoke, you automatically conclude there must be fire. You know, the same way it is here actually. So also it can mean a male regenerative organ for progeny. You know? Linga, that also means, but this is not the sense this we used here. In fact, this is used as a causative agent for material universe. Same way yoni, that is used. Yoni is the female generating organ or a womb, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Mam yoni mahat Brahma." So in that he says that, but in this yoni of the material world, Prathana, I introduced this jivas. But he is the male principle, so does not have a yoni in this conventional sense, but is a parokshavada, you know, it's an indirect expression. So therefore, Shambhu denotes the source of Mahavishnu. So between Krishna and Mahavishnu, there is in intermediary this linga, you know, or Shambhu. But that is not Lord Shiva. He particularly, Jiva Goswami emphasizes, that's not Shambhu. So that Shambhu is Mahanarayana, directly, Krishna himself. Next PowerPoint. So there are two categories of this quadruple expansion. The first Chaturvyuha expansion takes place directly from this Krishna Shambhu. And that is this Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Anuruddha. That takes place in the spiritual world, you know. And that's worshipable by the devotees, you know. And of that, the Sankarsana expansion, the first quadruple expansion, from there, the second quadruple expansion takes place. That is taking place in the material world. So, here as you see that the manifestations from Sankarsana of the first Chaturvyuha within the cosmos, in this material world, there exists the purpose for the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmos. So what is the conclusion here? So Shambhu is an intermediary between Krishna and Mahavishnu. And that is, in fact, that's the Lord. In fact, Brahma Samhita, we also hear another term called Sadashiv. That is the same as Shambhu here. But there has nothing to do with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's agency does come later, actually, when Mahavishnu throws a glance, Sa Akshipta, in the Pradhana from the distant, because Paramatma does not come in direct contact with the matter, actually. And that is comes through the agency of Lord Shiva. That's where Lord Shiva's role comes there, actually. So conclusion is, Shambhu is an intermediary between Krishna and Mahavishnu, who does not contact the material energy directly, but does so through his conduit in the form of Shiva, since his concept Durga is the deity of material energy. Then Shiva or Shambhu becomes the causal agent or linga for Mahavishnu. See that? In that sense, that's what Brahma Samhita. So that confusion is being cleared by Jiva Goswami right here in Paramatma Sandarbha. That was I was kind of quite, I noticed that very clearly. No? So thus there are two Shambhus. One is Narayana himself, and the other is Lord Shiva. Okay, next part. Right? So now in this pictorial presentation, here you can see the first Chaturvya that you remember is taking place in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. And that's where the Shambhu is intermediary between Krishna and Mahavishnu. And the second Chaturvya expansion takes place in cosmic world, and that from that Sankarsana takes Balarama, that is in the second Chaturvya. That's where you see this the three Purusha expansion. Karnadaksha Vishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and so on like that, and Shirodaksha Vishnu. And here the innumerable material universes are being created. Next slide. There's a lag period, you know. Technical lag. Yeah, this is the Garbhadaksha Vishnu. So each and every universe, further expansion of Mahavishnu takes place as Garbhadaksha Vishnu. So when the universe have thus developed in the womb of material nature, Mahavishnu expands as Garbhadaksha Vishnu, who enters into each and every universe with the living entities of that particular universe, and thus activates each universe by his presence. And from his navel, of course, the first living entity, Brahma, is created, the 8.4 billion species of life forms, and then he also creates planetary systems and so on like that, you know. So lotus grows, dissipating the darkness of the universe. Next slide. And then further expansion takes place. So in a Mahavishnu form, Karnadaksha Vishnu form, he is the aggregate of the universes. He is the aggregate super soul Paramatma of all the living entities. And that is called metacosmic manifestation. And then there's a macrocosmic, that is this Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Is the aggregate of that particular universe of all the living entities and the world. And then the individual Jivatma's hearts, he expands as Kshirodaksha Vishnu, actually. And that is this microcosmic manifestation. Next part. So this is the how is the Kshirodaksha Vishnu is the real in that form he maintains, sustains the universe. So Kshirodaksha Vishnu and different kinds of worshippers, you know. Some yogis meditate upon the Paramatma measuring one Pradesha who is residing in the form, actually. And he is situated in this milk ocean. There's an Ireland, Swetha Dvipa. That's where he resides. So it is part of material world, actually. You know? To maintain the universe, Garbhadaksha Vishnu expands as Shirodaksha Vishnu. His all-pervading super soul, by his entering into the every atom, he manifests the whole universe. And his abode is Swetha Dvipa in the Ireland, in the ocean of milk. That's right in material world, actually, cosmic world. So next, I think that's probably the end. And we're going to see the third thing, third expansion, a third function of Paramatma is the Guna Avataras. So first we saw Kshetra Kshetragna. Second we see as this three Purusha expansion. Now the third characteristics of Paramatma as the Guna Avataras. Next one.
Yes.
Ji, that is the last one in this trade.
Okay, okay, I'm sorry, thank you. So maybe that we'll be discussing later, I guess. It's good, this time is also happening. Should make a copy of my own PowerPoint now. Okay, yeah, all right, thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Can you go back to the very first one? Let's make sure.
Is here, or if you want to see the other one here.
In the next lesson, we are going to talk about this Gunavataras. So here, lesson 2, we are going to talk further discussion about this Kurushavataras and this Gunavataras in the next PowerPoint. And next lesson, next week. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. So we have quite a bit of time now. I hope you all have questions. Hare Krishna. Gopinath, thank you for the one. Can you elaborate a bit the relation between Sambhu and Lord Shiva, especially in relation to the creation process, as Lord Shiva is involved in dissolution mainly. So here, what Jiva Goswami talks about the two kinds of Sambhu that's involved. The first Sambhu, that is the intermediary between Krishna and Mahavishnu. That is, and he originates from the second quadruple expansion. First quadruple expansion appears again, Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Anuruddha, that is in the spiritual world. And of that Sankarsana of the spiritual world, that Balaram, of course, from there, the second quadruple expansion takes place for the purpose of cosmic manifestation, and that's where this Mahavishnu throws a glance through the distant Sa-Akshita Pradhana, and he is not in direct touch, contact directly with the material world, and that is what I understand, that is happens through Shiva's, because it is the his consort, Mata Parvati Durga Devi, is the superintendent of the material world, Adishte, you know, and Shiva being her husband. So that's where takes place. And yes, you are right. Shiva, when we are going to hear next week or so, when we talk about Guna Avataras, Lord Shiva is the predominating deity of the mode of ignorance, and he is the one also in charge of the dissolution of the universe, empowered by the Lord, actually. You know, even though this Gunavataras, all three, Lord Vishnu is the predominant deity of the mode of goodness, Brahma is the Lord of passion, and Shiva being the controller of the mode of ignorance. That doesn't mean that they come into that, but nonetheless, because Shiva is in direct contact with the material world, sometimes it comes in that context, but nonetheless, he is the one in that role, is involved in the direct contact with the material nature. So in that role, actually, it's in that. So in Brahma Samhita, when we hear, we become confused about that. So here, Jiva Goswami makes it very clear, the first Sambhu mentioned as an intermediary between Govinda, Bhagavan Shri Krishna himself, and the first Purusha expansion, Mahavishnu, Karnadakshaya Vishnu, that intermediary is this Sambhu, and he also talks about as a linga. Linga means the causative agency, the causative agent, causative reason, the generative for the cosmic manifestation. So that is Sambhu, first Sambhu. But the second Sambhu that is mentioned later on in Brahma Samhita, and that is what Lord Shiva is there actually. So here, yes, you are right, primary role is in the dissolved universe, but Lord Shiva is involved in that kind of role by the empowerment of Krishna. Sarat Prabhu, can we also say Sambhu or Sadashiv is almost equal to Vishnu and higher than Shiva? That Sambhu is directly the Supreme Lord Krishna himself, that first Sambhu that we are just talking about. Don't be confused. Very clearly, Jiva Goswami defines very clearly, and I read it right here. Again, let me read again here. It is necessary to explain the word linga. In accordance with the Vishnu Purana statement, this entire cosmic energy is situated in a 100 millionth part of his part. And his part refers to the Supreme Lord Bhagavan Sri Govinda himself. A special part of the causal potency of Sri Govinda is known as Shambhu, Vasudev or Mahanarayana. This is also referred to as Mahanarayana. Narayana is this Karnadaksha Vishnu. And Mahanarayana is a higher, is directly Krishna himself, who is called the causal agent. That is where linga, Sanskrit word linga, is used. Not in the sense as a male rigid organ, not in that sense, of course, Comparable to the causal agency, causal potency, lingam eva. Because he is the agency through which the Purusha avatars appear. So all these three Purusha avatars that we talk about, Karnadaksha Vishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Kshiradaksha Vishnu, all come from this, So Mahavishnu, this Shambhu or Linga represents that entity. In other words, the term Linga, denoting the portion of Sri Govinda, is the basis of the primary meaning of the word Shambhu. See that? Linga thus refers to the special portion of the Bhagavan alone. So he emphasizes very, very clearly, repeatedly emphasizes that is Krishna himself, that Shambhu, the first Shambhu that is mentioned. All right? The second Purusha is the indweller, Antaryami, of the aggregate form of all Jivas, Samasta Jiva, as indicated in the statements such as, after creating this world, he entered into it, that is Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Because this form is involved with the universe, which are manifold, this Purusha has numerous divisions, along which are sometimes called Pradyumna, who is the indweller of the subtle dimension of being, Aniruddha, who is the indweller of the gross dimension of beings. From this it can be concluded that the original Sankarsana and the other supra-cosmic forms, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, who are situated in Mahavaikuntha, are the whole of which these cosmic forms are the parts. See that. Furthermore, the cosmic forms of Vasudev and so on, who are the presiding deities of pure intellections, chitta, and the other psychic functions, are parts of his original form. The third Purusha is the indweller of the individual beings. That is Kshiradaksha Vishnu. Right. So again, bring back to the question, Sarat Prabhu. Can we also say Sambhu or Sadashiv? Sometimes it's referred to Sadashiv also. So that is Krishna himself. He's almost equal to Vishnu, not almost Vishnu. He is the before Vishnu even. He's the origin of Vishnu forms. His three Purusha expansions are Vishnu forms. So the Sambhu form that we are talking about, Mahavishnu, that Mahanarayana, is even supreme. The origin of Vishnu forms. So forget about Jiva. Jiva is the way down, downstream. right? So he is the supreme of Lord Shiva also. You know. Clear? Thank you. So again, to clear, the first living entity is Brahma. Brahma is a jiva tattva, just like us, okay? But of course, he is far, far superior position than we, you know. And then above that is Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva's position is very unique. It's between jiva shakti and Vishnu tattva. Jiva tattva and Vishnu tattva is Lord Shiva. Even though it can be confused because Shiva, but Bhagavatam is created by Brahma, you know, that's mentioned. So Lord Shiva's position is very, very difficult to understand. And that's why Brahma Samhita compares Lord Shiva's position is in between Jiva and Vishnu Tattva, but it's not Lord Vishnu also, because it's like milk and yogurt, you know. The yogurt is comes from milk, and yet it's not milk, you know, it's in that regard. So Shiva's position is quite much higher in that sense, but not higher than Lord Vishnu. And above Vishnu is Krishna's position. He is the origin of all these three Vishnu forms. So that also we must keep in that mind. And intermediary is this Sadashiv or Sambhu that we are just talking about. So this can be a considerable confusion when we read, when we first had an understanding of Brahma Samhita. I had that same kind of confusion in my mind, but now it's very clear after studying this section of Paramatma Sandarbha. So here, Gopi Prabhu, Shambhu and Shiva are related in any way, Prabhuji? Yeah, I just made it very clear. And they are related in this second part of it, you know. During this creation, Shiva's agency is being used in that sense. So Shambhu and Shiva in that sense, but the first Shambhu that is mentioned, again, I'm repeatedly saying this thing. The first Shambhu that is mentioned, that is Lord Govinda himself, actually, Krishna himself. And that is Mahanarayana. In fact, that is what it's referred to as. So don't, it has nothing to do with this Lord Shiva, that Shambhu. In fact, Jiva Goswami defines, he translates, what is the meaning of Shambhu? It's the composite of two words, actually. Sham and Bhu. Bhu means that which originates from. And Shama means Bhakti. That from which Bhakti originates. And that is Krishna, you know. That Mahanarayana. Because he is the only one who endows, who gives us liberation through Bhakti. So that is exact meaning of Shambhu. Not Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva does not give liberation from material existence. So that's why Krishna's another name is Mukunda, you know. So they are different, definitely, in that sense. Shambhu is Mahadeva, yeah. So he's one of the demigods. All right, let's not confuse anymore. Okay. Any other questions, comments? So, Gopi Prabhu, is that, are you clear about the reason why Jiva Goswami did not compose separately Brahma and Sandarbha? As I mentioned very clearly in the beginning, that Brahma is clearly defined and discussed in Bhagavad Sandarbha right there, that we completed in the second module. So that is the reason why he did not integrate, because that is devoid of all attributes, qualities. And that's why he had to discuss first Bhagavad Sandarbha. And that's where in that Bhagavad Sandarbha, he discussed at length Brahman Sandarbha. Then the second question would come, how come then Paramatma Sandarbha came after Bhagavad Sandarbha? Because the Tattva Vedanti verse says that Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So there, Jiva Goswami gives the reason that Paramatma, even though it's part of Bhagavan, but it is just a part of Bhagavan's potencies, you know, external potency. So first we have to discuss one who is full, complete, and that's where Bhagavad Sandarbha comes first. Thank you, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, Gopinath Acharya Prabhu and Gokul Priya Mataji, two of them were asking the question. So GP means Gokul Priya Mataji, I believe.
Where is the question? Gokul Priya Mataji. Yeah. Shambhu and Shiva are related in any way, Prabhuji? Yes, I answered that question. I'm sorry, I thought GP means I thought it was Gopi Prabhu. I'm very sorry, Mataji. Are they completely different? They are completely different. They are one and the same that I just mentioned. In the first part, Shambhu that is mentioned as the intermediary between Krishna, Govinda and Mahavishnu, that Shambhu is Krishna himself as Mahanarayana. So that is quite completely different. But the second Shambhu that is mentioned in Brahma Samhita during the part of the creation portion where Mahavishnu throws a glass. So Mahavishnu is already created, all right? And then he creates these multiple universes by throwing a glance, and his glance composed of injecting these living entities with his stored karmas, you know, and his time potency. So Paramatma himself enters. Time potency is Paramatma's potency. So that's when he enters there, and he comes, does not come in direct contact. And that's where it's my understanding is that that's where Lord Shambhu's, through Shiva's agency, because Shiva is in direct contact with the material world in that sense, because his wife is the Mata Durga Devi, is the chief superintendent of this material world. So there they are similar in that sense. So that's why I'm saying that don't confuse yourself. They are different in that sense, completely different in, that, in one sense, and they are one and the same in the other sense. Thank you, Mataji. And again, my apology. Naveen Prabhu, is there a difference between the first Shambhu and Shiva? Oh, there we go again. Sadashiva and the first Shambhu and Sadashiva, they are synonymous. They are one and the same. Okay. So this can be confusing, actually, you know, because here we are talking about first, before all the universes are created, and then Lord Shambhu's agency is being used. And how come then Brahma first, later created first, and from Brahma comes Shiva? So that can be all this very, very confusing in that sense. So don't go in that nitty-gritty details about it, okay? Okay, Gopi Prabhu is suggesting, maybe we can do a brief review of the same versus Lord Shiva versus Sadashiva start the next class. Okay, I will do that next class. All right, thank you. And I'll do some more reading also. But basically, this is what I understand. I directly read the commentary of Jiva Goswami right there. But let's keep it until next week for that. But my understanding is very clear in this sense. Okay, are there any more questions, comments? Thank you, Gopi Prabhu. Mataji. Gopi Prabhu, Mataji, in Pracheta's case, Lord Shiva directed them to Lord. Well, yes, Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, and he actually in fact that's called Shiva Gita, actually, right there, you know. He instructed Prachita brothers to serve Krishna, how to do that. He gave his mantra also in that discourse, you know. That is Lord Shiva himself, of course. Rudra Gita, yes. That is Lord Shiva. In fact, he has his own Vaishnava Sampradaya. Okay. So if there are no further questions, I'm going to request Dishana to conclude the class. Dishana, if your microphone is working. Haribo.
Hare Krishna.
Haribo.
Namashinare Shimhaya. Namaste Narishimhaya. Praladeladedayini. Praladeladedayini. Hiranyakashipurvakshaha. Hiranyakashipurvakshaha. Shilatanka nakalaye. Shilatanka nakalaye. Ito narsimho pareto narsimho. Ito narsimho pareto narsimho. Yato yato yamitato narsimho. Yato yato yamitato narsimho. Bahir narsimho hrdaye narsimho. Bahir narsimho hrdaye narsimho. Narsim mamadim sharanam prapade. Narsim mamadim sharanam prapade. Tavakare kamalavari nakam adbuddha shringam lita hiranyakashipu tanubringam keshavadrita narahari rupa jejagadishahari Jaya Jagadish Hare. Jaya Jagadish Hare. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa. Jaya Jagadish Hare. Jaya Jagadish Hare. Jaya Jagadish Hare. Jaya Narsimha Dev, Jaya Narsimha Dev, Jaya Narsimha Dev, Jaya Narsimha Dev, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev. All glories to the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Dishana. Thank you so much, all of you. All Gaurav Srila Prabhupada, all Gaurav Srila Jiva Goswami, all Gaurav Srila Bhagavatam, all the glories, all the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I wish you all the best Krishna Conscious week ahead, and I look forward to see you next week. Hari Bol. And I will again send you the quizzes, quiz questions, and it's completely voluntary. All right? Hare Krishna.